All right, friends, it's HoopBall promo time. This is big because this is our 2020-2021 NBA season product rollout, and I am so excited to tell you about what we've got. We almost never push our HoopBall products, but this is the window of the year where we need to power that engine. So let me tell you what's out. We've got our draft guide, our flagship shining beacon to the most comprehensive draft guide in fantasy. We cover all over 400 players this season with future access pass to our Brewski 150. Now, if you don't know what the Brewski 150 is, I'm here to give you the need-to-know info. This is the fantasy draft list that has beaten every other list for 10 straight years. And new this year for HoopBall, we're unveiling our monthly membership plans featuring our fantasy pass, draft guide, Brewski 150, our new DFS pass, premium in-season tools, as well as our wager pass for sports bettors. Everything you need, we've got you covered. 365 around the clock, HoopBall Tools is your one-stop shop for your NBA treasure trove of fantasy need-to-know information. All that you need and more, check us out. Head to hoop-ball.com or follow at HoopBallFantasy on Twitter now. Check it out, give us a follow, get your tools, and win your league. All right, friends, it's HoopBall promo time. This is big because this is our 2020-2021 NBA season product rollout, and I am so excited to tell you about what we've got. We almost never push our HoopBall products, but this is the window of the year where we need to power that engine. So let me tell you what's out. We've got our draft guide, our flagship shining beacon to the most comprehensive draft guide in fantasy. We cover all over 400 players this season with future access pass to our Brewski 150. Now, if you don't know what the Brewski 150 is, I'm here to give you the need-to-know info. This is the fantasy draft list that has beaten every other list for 10 straight years. And new this year for HoopBall, we're unveiling our monthly membership plans featuring our fantasy pass, draft guide, Brewski 150, our new DFS pass, premium in-season tools, as well as our wager pass for sports bettors. Everything you need, we've got you covered. 365 around the clock, HoopBall Tools is your one-stop shop for your NBA treasure trove of fantasy need-to-know information. All that you need and more, check us out. Head to hoop-ball.com or follow at HoopBallFantasy on Twitter now. Check it out, give us a follow, get your tools, and win your league.
The following is a HoopBall presentation.
Welcome in, HoopBallers, HoopBall family, to another edition of your Box Score Breakdown. As always, is your host, David Bracey, alongside with me, a very special co-host, guest host, recurring host, Mr. Brad Harden. How are you on a Sunday today?
I'm doing well. I would do better, but we'll talk about that a little later. But it's always great to be here on the Box Score with you, David.
Well, as always, it's a pleasure to have you here. This has been a pretty peaceful Sunday for most of us, but unfortunately, you being a Pelicans fan, I know it hasn't been the most peaceful for you. So I'm just going to go ahead and open up the episode and let you air your grievances real quick. The New Orleans Pelicans, for those of you who are unaware, lost to the San Antonio Spurs early this afternoon. DeMar DeRozan gave them that whole 15-piece in the fourth quarter, and it is looking like the Pelicans are going to be SOL when it comes to making the playoffs. Brad, as a lifelong fan, I'm sure you have some words on this, but from an analytical perspective, from the perspective of somebody who is a quote-unquote student of the game, as it were, what are your thoughts about where the Pelicans should be mentally as far as their performance went today against the Spurs and what could have been a crucial win to secure their playoff hopes or at least keep the hopes for playoffs alive? What did you think of the performance and what do you think are the next steps for them as an organization, not only in the bubble but going forward?
So I know one of the things that I kept seeing as a spectator of the game, as you would say, especially for my Pelicans, was just the lack of urgency. It seems like to start off games, it seemed like a lot of the games as of late, the Pelicans started off very slow as far as with their defensive rotations, communicating on defense, allowing for a lot of easy buckets at the rim. not closing out on shooters. So the defensive woes continued and was ultimately their downfall. They fell behind the eight ball early in this game today against the Spurs, a nationally televised game, which I was hoping to see a sense of fight, a sense of urgency to make the eight seed. But I know that there's been a lot of speculation as to do the Pelicans even want to be in the playoffs, and by their body language and some of the effort seen in the last couple of games at times, it seems like the only people who want to be in the playoffs were J.J. Redick with his streak, keeping that going after having a 31-point performance today and hitting eight threes. So it wasn't him. He was also creating for others. Zion did look a little hobbled at times on the court, and I think just having B.I. off the court at times allows for him to get cold, but he did try to get it going in the fourth quarter along with Jrue Holiday, but it was just a little too late. Like you said, the run from DeMar DeRozan with the 50-point performance in the fourth quarter really put us out of contention. So to end that, a lot of the current songs that are going to be in rotation after the Pelicans were officially eliminated from playoff contention, the top two right now is All Falls Down by Kanye West and Why by Jadakiss. But the future is still bright for them, even though it is a disappointing exhibition of games, the last couple of games from them. I was happy they got the win on Friday, but to come out on Saturday, I mean, here on Sunday today and fall short was very disappointing as a fan. But the future is still bright. It gives the team a chance to get some well-deserved R&R, continue to develop their skills in the offseason, and see what moves need to be made. I know the Fire Gentry campaign is growing louder and louder, especially as all eyes were on them at the bubble to for the restart. So it's going to be very interesting to see them going forward with decisions they make to continue to make a playoff team here in New Orleans.
Yeah, to your point, I definitely think that they show flashes of true potential, and it's definitely not a question of talent. It is a question of effort, and on a night-in, night-out basis, you can't really guarantee you're going to get the same level of play from a lot of the guys who they really are going to be leaning on, especially in crucial games, and that kind of showed up today. I mean, Zion Williamson had 25 points and 7 rebounds, but, I mean, he was negative 21 as far as his plus-minus goes. The Pelicans have some really serious questions to ask themselves as far as where their defensive principles lie. And I think overall, the more in tune they get with a defensive identity for that team, the more the other facets of that organization and what they hope to get out of that roster are going to kind of take shape. So, I mean, I guess we'll see. I guess we'll kind of see here. Not to open it all up with a bunch of negativity, you know, I mean, this is just a game that's fresh on our minds. Of course, we just finished watching this game, I'm sure. A lot of us have been watching the game. It's pretty much the only thing going on right now. But with there being so much exposure on the bubble, there's definitely a lot of good things. And I have to give the NBA a lot of credit here and kind of tip my cap to them. I really, really love how they have engaged not only all of us as fans with the ability to kind of, you know, not only tune into all these games at all hours of the day on all kinds of platforms and networks, but also in the ability to, you know, kind of interact with these players to possibly stream in and be a part of the virtual crowd. And then in turn, how they are kind of making it more of a fun experience for the guys in the bubble who are isolated from all their friends and family, their loved ones, who are completely out of the, you know, giant, almost kind of like gladiator stadium type of feel they get every single time they would go out there and suit up and play these games. And the NBA's done a really good job with all the state-of-the-art technology as far as incorporating crowd noise and the simulation of, you know, not only the virtual fans, but also the cut shots from actual stadium footage of fans during the regular season, incorporating that in. The music has been good. It's been engaging. It's been current. You know, I think all of us can relate to going to some kind of game, whether it was in high school or in college, those of us who play collegiate athletics, and hearing the home team's music and wondering, well, not even wondering, just knowing this ain't it. And I think the NBA's done a good job, but I mean, most of us have 2K, so we knew that they were going to be playing some pretty good songs. But also, as far as the atmosphere, there was a lot of questions about what the atmosphere was going to be like in the bubble, what that was going to do as far as the possibility of it lessening the competitive nature of these games. And I think it hasn't at all. I think if anything, maybe it's even elevated it a little bit. You can compare it to similarly AAU style play where a lot of these guys really grew up, their upbringings, their foundations as far as competitive basketball really goes, and that high level exposure, this is similar to that. I mean, you have fans in the crowd who aren't fans, they're other guys, you know, they're cheering, they're jeering, they're doing whatever. You saw it the other day against the Clippers and the Trailblazers, you know, so guys are really, really getting involved, whether they're in the game, on the bench, or just in the crowd for those that actually go to the games and watch. And I think that's really, really cool. And I guess the biggest credit we have to give to the NBA is, I mean, for no other reason, they've kept cases to an absolute minimum. I mean, the few people who did test positive were immediately isolated. The handful of several of them, I guess, were asymptomatic. I know Bledsoe was, so, and he's been back on the court now looking good. So far, so good. They've had a couple injuries, but not a whole lot. I know there was a lot of questions about that as far as the layoff period and what that might do to the propensity for injury. But it doesn't seem like it so far, knock on whatever wood you have available. Let's hope that neither one of those factors change. So, I mean, as far as that goes, I've been really, really impressed with the NBA and what they've been doing.
Yeah, it's been a wonderful product, definitely to see. It's been very competitive. I've been really enjoying seeing some of the players that weren't big names in the regular season before the restart really come to fruition, like a Gary Trent. Obviously, we know the scoring prowess of T.J. Warren, but he's playing phenomenal, and as well as a couple of other players who have taken advantage of the bubble to kind of, you know, make a name for themselves, whether they're playing for a spot on the roster for the next year with the current team or playing for other teams. So it's been a great audition process. As you mentioned, it's been very, very competitive, a lot of jaw-jacking, and with not as much noise in the gym and which you're playing in, you can hear some of the trash talk. I know Doris Burke on the ESPN broadcast always talked about how, you know, Chris Paul doesn't stop talking, and we have the luxury of hearing some of the things that he says. I know when they played the Lakers, he was drawing back and forth with LeBron, obviously being in the Banana Boat crew with him. And just seeing the competitive nature really come out, whether there are teams like the Lakers who have secured a spot in the playoffs as the number one seed, or if they're fighting for a playoff push like the Phoenix Suns, like the Grizzlies and the Trailblazers. So it's just wonderful basketball that we've been able to see all throughout the day, whether you're at work or not. It's been a blessing to have League Pass, just throw it on while I am working from home, just like a lot of people are. So hats off to the NBA. They've done a really good job of keeping the players safe. Continue to push for social activism, especially the Black Lives Matter movement, and continue to push those narratives along with the platform given. So it's just been really great to see the camaraderie of all the players come together for one common cause, as well as the coaches in their individual franchises as well. So hats off to the NBA. I know we had our reservations going in, but you guys have really put something special out. That's why you are the best league in the world, in our opinion, and you're doing much better than Major League Baseball. So with that, we'll segue on to the next topic.
Yeah, you're definitely right about the point on MLB baseball. And, I mean, I think, to your point, the NBA has done a really, really good job. You got to give them credit right now. They are the front runner, you know, the kind of the trendsetter when it comes to innovation and what sports are going to look like probably for a little bit here. We'll see. Speaking of sports, this will be a great time for me to tell you guys all about my bookie. Say it with me now. Sports are back, baby. I've been waiting for this day forever. I mean, and now we've got more and more games. The playoffs are getting closer and closer. We're less than a week out, and oh, doesn't it feel great? That's why I'm here to tell you about my bookie. It is a home run, slam dunk, triple overtime, game winning shot, all wrapped up into one. I love it. You love it. And honestly, that should be all you need to hear from me right now. So go ahead and just start betting. Okay, fine. I'll tell you a little bit more. So MyBookie has up-to-the-minute odds on all of your favorite teams. And with the start of the NBA bubble season and the playoffs just around the corner, there's no better time to start playing. With MyBookie, it's easy. You bet, you win, they pay. Probably not feeling too great about your MLB team's chances this year, but maybe you are about your NBA teams. Check out MyBookie's NBA betting, their World Series future betting. Nothing shows you believe in your squad like betting on them before the season's even begun or before the playoffs have even started, okay? Because you know where your allegiances lie. So go ahead, throw some money in the pot and make some money for yourself, okay? But why stop with baseball or basketball? Smart bettors are always looking towards the future. And in this case, that means hockey and football's right around the corner. MyBookie is already accepting bets on all of your favorite teams and all of your favorite games. There's never been a better time to start exploring the world of online sports betting. Join today and MyBookie will match your deposit 100%. You heard me right, 100%. Plus, I'll toss you a free $10 MLB future wager. All you got to do is enter promo code HOOPBALL when signing up. That's promo code HOOPBALL, H-O-O-P-B-A-L-L. Remember, at MyBookie, the terms are simple. You bet, you win, they pay. All right, want to open it up here with just a couple thoughts, I guess. A couple things I've been watching, a couple things I've been thinking as far as the narratives are going in the East. We've had a lot of games so far. We've gotten to see guys back on the court. Teams are starting to round back up into shape here. Very, very interesting. I mean, I think clear-cut Milwaukee is, you know, the favorite to come out of the East. I think they've had some scares lately, especially last night. Not necessarily the most confident performance from them. But still, I think we all like them in a series against anybody else. The Raptors have been looking incredible. But the Celtics put the whooping on them the other night. So I think that they're kind of going to be jockeying for who people think is going to be that quote-unquote dark horse to come out of the East after Milwaukee. And, you know, Philadelphia, I think, unfortunately, they're out of the mix, in my personal opinion. They have a good test today going up against the Blazers right now in the first quarter. Pretty close game. So we'll see what that ends up looking like. But the East is very, very interesting right now, as is the West. Don't get me wrong. But the West is more interesting at the bottom, where here, as I think the East is more interesting at the top. So why don't we start from the top to the bottom? Milwaukee, for those of you who were watching, lost last night to the Dallas Mavericks in overtime. Again, Milwaukee was exposed to three-point shooting, something that they have kind of prided themselves in being better at, regardless of all of the analytical kind of perspectives and statistical analysis in regards to teams that historically give up that many three-pointers and the ability to succeed and win at a high level. They kind of taken pride in the fact that they don't fit that mold. As far as a team that has kind of dared other teams to take those threes throughout the whole season, and this is nothing new, especially not for a team coached by Mike Budenholzer. This is a philosophy that he's bought into for a long time. A lot of us probably remember when the Atlanta Hawks were really roaring through the NBA, very, very similar. And it didn't end up working out for him. Now, did it? We all remember what LeBron did to them season after season after season. Brad, I mean, you got family in Atlanta. I'm sure that they remember that. There's a reason why that Atlanta team doesn't exist anymore. There's a reason why Mike Budenholzer is not in Atlanta. And it's because that philosophy clearly didn't work. During the regular season, Giannis had less than five games that he played over 36 minutes. I believe Dame Lillard had around 42 games where he played over 36 minutes. Again, different situation. You know, the Portland Trail Blazers clearly lean more heavily on Damian Lillard on a night-in, night-out basis to win over anybody else on that team. And that's no shot to CJ or any of those other boys, you know. It's just a different type of game. We're talking about a different type of situation here. I think everybody can appreciate that. But, I mean, that says something. That says something. Last night, late in the game, you saw Giannis was getting tired. Late in the game, you saw the Bucks were slipping. They were allowing Luka over and over again to do whatever he wanted to do. And you saw Giannis essentially kind of run out of moves. You know, he kind of ran out of things to do to the Mavericks. Yeah, he can dunk. Yeah, he can go around you, but when he can't go around you and when the rim's too far away for him to dunk, there's some serious questions about what he's going to do to win the game down the stretch. And again, this is not a knock on his game. I think very comparatively, you saw the same struggle that LeBron James went through at the end of his tenure with the Cavs in the 09-010, the first go around. And that's coming off of back-to-back MVP seasons, regular season MVP seasons. But LeBron did not really have a go-to move. And in late in games, in high-pressure games, teams put him in positions where he ultimately would fail. They put the pressure on him because they knew that outside of him, there really wasn't anybody else who's going to make this type of play. So I have a lot of thoughts about the Bucks. You know, I still think they're my favorite to come out of the East. Don't get me wrong about that. I have a lot of confidence. I think Giannis is different. He's my favorite to get MVP. But in the 7-game series, I mean, especially against a team like the Raptors, I don't know. I don't know. Brad, what are your thoughts about the Milwaukee Bucks?
So I agree to your point, especially about Giannis. He ended up fouling out last night, which did not help his team in overtime to pull out that win. But like you said, it seems like he is running out of moves, driving to the hoop. Everybody knows that when you see him coming down the court, he's driving into the lane. You either got to get in front of him and take a charge and try to get a foul call, which Finney Smith did a great job of yesterday, and what other teams have been doing with putting length and putting bodies in front of him. But him being young and Giannis will continue to grow if, you know, he continues to trend like he has in past years. I expect him to continue to work on his three-point shot and as well as to add a couple of moves to help him finish more around the rim than he already has. I mean, because obviously with his size and length, he's going to finish at the rim almost at will. But when you put a bunch of bodies out in front of him, can you work on another move, a counter move against that defense to get you a look at the rim or at least get to the foul line? And can your teammates continue to hit those threes? Because like you said, they give up a lot of threes, but their offense is predicated on hitting a lot of those three-point shots. And I think the addition of Bledsoe coming back will help on the defensive end and obviously have another ball handler to take some responsibilities, you know, out of Giannis's hand and continue to... Because I know with Mike Budenholzer's offense, they love to move the ball. So that will help with more ball movement, having Bledsoe, who is a threat to score as well, back. And to your point, with the Atlanta teams in the past, Budenholzer didn't have a Giannis on that team. That he didn't have a MVP caliber player on the team. He had a bunch of all-stars, which led to team success, especially regular season success for that Hawks team with Millsap, with Korver and the other players on the team. Teague was a point guard on that team as well. So good team in Atlanta, but this is a different team in Milwaukee. You have an MVP player. You still have Middleton, who's been playing fantastic as the bubble's been starting. Had, I think, 33-point performance the other day and another good game against Dallas as well. So he continues to be consistent for them. And with Bledsoe back, it will give, you know, better opportunities for DiVincenzo, George Hill, those other guards to, you know, get, you know, more open shots and continue to open up and create for those big men, the Lopez twins hitting threes and as well as doing their damage in the post. So I still have confidence in them. I know if we were talked about offline doing a confidence rating for each of the teams winning the NBA finals this year. My confidence rating right now out of 10 for the Bucks is at 8.5. They still have a very favorable matchup. Orlando has pretty much locked the 8 seed. I foresee them taking care of Orlando early. And then their next matchup as of right now will be either Miami or Indiana. The Heat are 2-1 against the Bucks this year. But obviously the playoffs is a different story. The environment they're at and then at the bubble, we'll see what happens. There's no home court advantage, no travel. So I'm very interested to see that matchup if that happens. And then on the other side, if they will happen to play Indiana, if Indiana were to beat the Heat, they are 1-3 versus the Pacers this year. The Pacers are 1-3 versus Milwaukee this year. So it's a very favorable path to start off. Miami could be tough if that is the team that ends up winning, if they play them in the second round. But still, like you said, going against the Toronto, going against Boston Celtics team who could give them fits and have bodies to throw at them can make things very interesting in the East. So Milwaukee is still my favorite in the East, like you said. But like you said, those other dark horses, the Torontos, who obviously the reigning champs and have looked great in the bubble, and Boston, who has looked great in the bubble as well, will have something to say about it down the stretch.
Yeah, and I, you know, I don't even think it's necessarily fair to say Toronto's a dark horse. You know, I think that based on their regular season play, based on their play up until the break, and even in the bubble here, they have played like a title contender, like somebody who is a defending champion, and they continue to impress. But definitely Miami, you know, I would consider them not a necessarily dark horse to win a championship because I don't think they have the requisite personnel, but they have some guys to give people, to steal your saying, fits out there. You know, they have a lot of very versatile guys. They went out and they got Jay Crowder. They went out and they got Andre Iguodala before the deadline. They got Jimmy Butler. They got a lot of these big, switchable, versatile wings. They got guys like Duncan Robinson. They got Tyler Hero. They got these rangy guys who are popcorn shooters who can fill it up in a hurry, you know, and quickly erase what could be a 10-15-point deficit just by a couple good shots in a row. So they have guys. And then don't even get me started on Bam Adebayo. I mean, I can fan over him all day long, you know. I mean, he's a UK Wildcat, so I mean, that's really all you got to say.
Oh God!
As far as I'm concerned, Lord. We'll talk about that offline, you know. But Adebayo and his performance this season, his development, his continual ascension as an NBA player, as a young star in this league, is really impressive. And he's a guy who I think matches up not perfectly with Giannis because I don't think that player exists. But he matches up very well with Giannis as far as being a big, athletic, versatile guy who can get out there on the wing and guard him and also bang with him down low. So interesting to see where teams are drawn as far as the playoff picture. And, I mean, I would definitely love to see Milwaukee, Miami second round playoff series. I mean, the more competitive basketball, the better.
Yes, and to add to your point, the thing that I love to see about Miami, you talk about Bam getting better and better on the offensive end, being a threat, passing the ball, being a playmaker, as well as getting rebounds and scoring. You have Jimmy Butler, you have the shooters in Hero and Duncan Robinson, and then you have Dragic off the bench. You have a lot of people who can shoot threes and can create their own shots. But I love the buy-in on a defensive end that is expected of you when you play in the Miami Heat organization. Obviously set the tone by Pat Riley and obviously Eric Spoelstra through the years. How they play defense and their attention to detail, which is something that I wish the Pelicans had, I love seeing in Miami. I love how bought in they are. I love how hard they play and how hard they play on a defensive end. I think is the reason why they are 2-1 versus the Bucks this year, which we see if you put the right defensive fit against Milwaukee, that Milwaukee can falter. And I know in the bubble, I know we have reports about, you know, the Rockets sharing information about, hey, how to guard the Bucks, and maybe that is circulating, and maybe, you know, the league is figuring it out. So this is a time where teams will continue to do what they do best, find the rotations, get in rhythm, going into the playoffs. In Milwaukee, this is a wonderful time to go to the drawing board and see what these teams are doing and try to find a counter leading into the playoffs. And obviously, you have ample amount of time focusing on whoever your playoff matchup is to figure out how to win that individual series and hopefully work around some of those things that they have been doing to cause fits on the offensive end for Milwaukee.
Yeah, and Miami is looking a lot better right now than the team that's currently playing. I think this is a good time to segue into our next team, the 76ers, as Embiid heads to the locker room right now. It looks like a potential ankle injury. Hopefully nothing serious, but he did go back, so we'll see how that develops. The 76ers, they do not have that strength of culture that the Miami Heat have with leadership like Mickey Arison and Pat Riley. They are a team that on a night-in-night-out basis, more so than I think a lot of teams, you really do not know who you're going to get, and you do not know who you're going to get it from. With the loss of Ben Simmons, that's devastating. He's out of the bubble. He's undergoing that surgery, something along the lines of removing some loose bodies in his knee. I'm not a medical professional. I'm not going to pretend like I'm one. So if you want more information on that diagnosis, I suggest you go on WebMD or at a bare minimum Google. You'll be able to find something. But yeah, the loss of Ben Simmons is devastating for their playoff hopes, for any kind of contending chances that they had. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, that flew right out the window. Shake has been playing very, very well. Not going to say I have a whole lot of confidence in him as a primary ball handler during the playoffs. Al Horford is a great player, but again, he's a guy who I think we can all agree is beyond the twilight of his year. Not to take anything away from Al Horford, very good player still, but to depend on both Al Horford and Joel Embiid in a playoff series in the modern day NBA that is entirely not big man oriented as far as offenses go, I just don't have a whole lot of stock in that. And I cannot stress enough, the loss of Ben Simmons is so devastating because not only do you lose your primary playmaking guard, but you lose all true defensive pressure on the wing. Again, not taking anything away from Shake or Josh Richardson. or Tobias Harris, who may or may not have the ability to play defense when he does or does not want to. However, Ben Simmons was an elite defender. This is a guy who year after year is in the top guys leading the league in steals. I mean, he is a big, switchable guard. He's way bigger than most guards. He's big enough to bang with a lot of posts. I cannot state enough how devastating that is for the Philadelphia 76ers. So as far as that goes, Embiid, prove me wrong. You know, go out there, play like the top five guys that I believe you could be. But you got to do two things. You got to stay healthy, and you got to play the whole game. Because at this point, that's the only way that they're going to go anywhere in the playoffs.
And I know for me coming into the year, I love Embiid. I think he has the prowess, the physical traits, and the skill to be the most dominant five in the league, like you said. But I needed for him, if it was a normal year, to play more than 65 games. That's something that a threshold that he really hasn't crossed because of conditioning and injuries and whatnot. And now that he has to carry the load with Ben Simmons out, and as you said on air, that he looked like he went to the locker room with an apparent ankle injury. My confidence rating was at a 5.4 out of 10 for them. As far as Philly winning it all, it literally dropped one whole point. So I'm back down to 4.4. Like you said, you know, Horford is past his prime. I do like Thiebold. I do like what Shake Milton has done. And they have some young players that are promising. But for where they are in the quote-unquote process, if you're trusting it, you don't need promising, you need proven. And with your one proven, you know, perimeter defender and playmaker and Ben Simmons being out, your one proven all-star five who could be in and out of your lineup, he has played great in the bubble, but like you said, leaving with an ankle injury, he's still injury-prone. It's just a lot of question marks across the board when it comes to Philly. I'm not a fan of Brent Brown. I think his time has unfortunately expired. I think it will expire this year. So it's almost like a broken record. We've thrown out trust the process because we want to see results now. The process is done. And if we're looking at the results, especially in recent history, right now Philly's sitting at the sixth seed. They would play Boston in the first round. Now, they are 3-1 against the Celtics this year, but the Celtics have owned them as of late in the playoffs, with Boston since 2010 going 8-4 against Philadelphia in the playoffs, including the semifinals in 2018. So regardless, you know, how they figure out what their rotations are, who's going to be healthy, who's going to be their lineups in the playoffs, you're running into a buzzsaw in a team that's playing very, very well in the Boston Celtics first round. I don't have a lot of confidence. Which means bye-bye, Brent Brown. Hopefully, I hope for a very speedy recovery for the former LSU Tiger, even though it was a one-year trial in Ben Simmons. But there's still a lot of questions to be answered. And Elton Brand is the GM in charge to make decisions going forward as to what is going to push Philly over the hump. Because we thought it was going to be this year with the additions that they had, like you said, of Horford. And then you coaxed, you know, Tobias Harris back. And obviously Jimmy Butler exits and now he's in Miami. You thought that this was going to be it, but they have continually been very disappointing. I thought they were going to be better than the sixth seed. So their current predicament, they can only blame themselves. And that reflects on my confidence rating of them. So I'm not expecting big things out of Philly this year, unfortunately.
Yeah, and it is unfortunate because you definitely look for them to take another step this season. And I think in some ways they did. You know, I think there's some things that the 76ers can definitely be proud of that they accomplished. But like you said, there's still a lot of work to do. So we'll see what they do in the playoffs. They got a game today against the Blazers, so we'll see how that goes. Depending on the outcome of that game, the confidence meter may just continue to shoot down for them. Or, hey, maybe Embiid gets back into the game, plays well, drops a 50-burger, and everybody starts betting on the Sixers. But, again, I doubt it. So, shifting gears to the Western Conference. I guess from the East, we went top to bottom. Let's go bottom to top over here. Portland Trail Blazers. One of the most talked about teams right now in the bubble. Very, very interesting. Unfortunately, we all lost yesterday to the LA Clippers, 122-117. But the story was not the final score as much as it was what happened after the game. Also, I guess to close out the game, you know, Dame is known for big time plays. There's a reason they call him Video Game Dame. Okay, check your wristwatch. It's Dame time if you didn't know. I mean, it's a very real thing. And late in the game, when he had two free throws to seal the win for the Blazers, he not only missed one, but he missed both. Much to the much to the delight, the absolute pleasure, the jubilation, the pure ecstasy of Patrick Beverley and the LA Clippers, who were more than happy to imitate the signature Dame wave as well as the Dame check your wristwatch motion during the Blazers' ultimate defeat to the Clippers. Afterwards, that taunting carried over to Instagram, where a series of a series of comments were exchanged between Paul George, Patrick Beverley, and Damian Lillard, which essentially can be summed up to be saying the Clippers said, you're not going to do that here, Dame. It's not Dame time no more. Patrick Beverley said, have a good summer in Cancun. And Damian Lillard told Paul George, he can't wait to see what team he goes to next. So the drama is real, and we know that Dame can ball, so I'm very, very excited to see what he continues to do in the bubble with some fire under his belly, with the potential of them getting that play-in game by securing that ninth spot, and definitely having a very favorable matchup against the Memphis Grizzlies, who I think with the loss of JJJ really are not going to have the requisite personnel to be able to beat any of their potential first round matchups here. But in regards to the Blazers, I mean, Dame unfortunately didn't have a great game the other night, but 11th, he has been in fuego. CJ has looked money. Melo has looked rejuvenated. He's looked great out there. Gary Trent Jr. has been a nice surprise. Nurkic and Collins being back has been a huge lift to that team on both ends of the court. So I really, really like the Portland Trail Blazers right now, and I would definitely give them the competitive edge over the Memphis Grizzlies. Now, I don't know how much I necessarily love that potential first-round matchup with the Lakers. However, I think that they have the potential to give the Lakers a really good run for their money and what could ultimately end up being a seven-game series. I would say at a minimum it's going to go five. You know, you think the Blazers are at least going to get one good win out of there. So there's some questions, though. I mean, you know, you wonder, is Melo the wing defender that you need against a guy like LeBron James? Probably not. I mean, they have only gone against each other once in the playoffs, and that was when Melo was on the Knicks and LeBron was on the Heat. We know how that series probably went, because for me to talk about the Knicks being in the playoffs, we know that was a long, long time ago, folks. So we're not even going to go down that road, but in regards to the questions around their personnel, Gary Trent Jr., who's been playing really, really well, is relatively unproven. Do we have a lot of faith in his ability to help them win high-level games here as the playoffs really begin? I mean, I think that's a reasonable question. Brad, what do you think about Gary Trent Jr.? I mean, do you think he has what it takes? Do you have confidence in Melo as a wing defender? Where do your allegiances lie with the Blazers?
Well, I know they're not in the Bay. I know Dame Lillard being from the Bay. Right now, they're singing the theme song, The Full House. Everywhere you look is a heart and a hand to hold on to, because you have everybody back. This is what you've been waiting for Portland since the unfortunate injuries in the playoffs with Nurkic and then Collins. You have the full cast back. To your point with Gary Trent, he has been hot. Averaging 20.3 points off the bench. He's made 22 threes since being in the bubble going into today's game. And the Blazers boast an 164 offensive rating when he is on the floor. And one of the things I really love from Gary Trent off the bench is his defensive effort that he's been giving, which is going to be a running theme for me because the Pels didn't have it. I loved, you know, the confidence that he's playing with right now. And that's what I see when I watch him on the court right now. He's a very confident player, like Dame, which obviously Dame sets the tone for confidence, you know, whether he's making shots or not on that team. And that is the testament of the great leader that he is. And it trickles down to everybody, because regardless if they're hitting shots or not, the ball is still finding these players. Their team really is trusting each other. They're playing better on the defensive end, giving a lot of effort. They're not known to be as a great defensive team in Portland, but I love the effort that they're playing with. So I think that drive and that sense of urgency that they're playing with, unlike New Orleans Pelicans or Sacramento Kings, who are pretty much eliminated from playoff contention at this point, what they're seeing right now, because of the leader and because of their experience in the playoffs before, I think it's really going to bode well for them. And I give them the nod over Memphis at this point. The remaining games for the Portland Trail Blazers is Philly currently right now, as you said, Dallas on Tuesday, and then.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Brooklyn later in the week, so I see, obviously, two tough matchups today and Tuesday, and then obviously Brooklyn going into the play-in game when they have to play Memphis if things hold up. I really like Portland. And I think Dame Time will have his time to, you know, rise again and prove the naysayers wrong, even though if it was just one game, one moment. And I just want to throw out, I think it was weak for Pat Bev to not even be in the game and be the one, you know, egging this on. But what else would you expect from the Black Air Force One's spokesperson in Pat Bev, who's just a junkyard dog and will do anything to get into his opponent's head? And that's just Pat Bev. And I think it adds a little something there. And even if they don't see them in the playoffs, or they might, who knows? We don't know how it's going to shake out. Obviously, if they do get into the playoffs, they'll have to play the Lakers, and that is a tall order itself. But will that drive them? I am really excited to see how Dame is going to bounce back and the remaining games to see what Portland can do, because it's going to be a lot of very interesting matchups to look at if they were to beat Memphis and have to play the Lakers first round with the guards that the Portland Trailblazers have and the lack of guards that the Lakers have. Very, very key, interesting matchup to watch, and then see how Nurkic, who has been playing great, and Collins, who is back, Whiteside in that second unit, how those post players fare against the trio of AD, McGee, and Dwight Howard in the post, and as well as LeBron James, who can play both on the perimeter and the post. So it's gonna be fun to see. They're now the team that I'm going to be keeping a close eye on now that the Pelicans are out. So I'm looking forward to some Dame Time and continue to see CJ McCollum, who played great in the playoffs last year, continue to prove that he is definitely a top 10 shooting guard in this league, but trying to pressure more, given the current situation and circumstance he's in, playing alongside of Dame Lillard. So it's been very, very impressive to see them play in the bubble nonetheless, along with the Phoenix Suns as well.
Very briefly, definitely the Phoenix Suns. They have been, rightfully so, in Fuego, more specifically Devin Booker. He's been playing very, very well. You know, their remaining games are the 76ers and the Mavericks, and they have the Thunder tomorrow. So they're definitely trying to make a little case for themselves, sneak in here to this playoff game. So we'll see what the Blazers are able to do to kind of stymie that. But you definitely got to like how Devin Booker's been playing, and clearly Draymond Green likes it. He likes it so much he was willing to tamper and got that $50,000 fine. But hey, Draymond Green had no problems with that. That's apparently pocket change to old Money Green. So we'll see what happens with the Phoenix Suns, not only for the remainder of the season, but for the remainder of Devin Booker's tenure in Phoenix. Because I mean, I'm not going to say that I think Devin Booker's leaving anytime soon, but we will definitely see. And Phoenix is not necessarily the most stable of franchises.
Cold like Minnesota.
Yeah, you know, that's where his boys are. So, I mean, who knows? If you believe in the concept of speaking it into existence, they have definitely done their best to get that ball rolling. So we'll kind of see where that goes. Working our way up, last night, Dallas Mavericks had a very, very impressive performance against who many people, had as, I mean, many people probably still have as potential title favorites. The Milwaukee Bucks, they ended up beating them in overtime off of a career performance from Luka Doncic. They won 136 to 132. Doncic had 36 points, 14 rebounds, and 19 assists. I mean, his play down the stretch last night was incredible. I can't understate that enough. That pass to end the game, that behind-the-leg pass to Maxi Kleber on a dunk, and one streaking to the basket, that's just, I mean, that's beautiful basketball right there. You really got to love what he's doing. A guy who's so young, playing the way that he is, sharing the ball, empowering his teammates, taking over the game when he needs to. I mean, he's different. And to be as young as he is, 21 and leading the league in triple doubles this season, I mean, he's doing things that are unprecedented. And I definitely look forward to seeing where his career goes. The Dallas Mavericks have all the promise in the world. I mean, the sky's really the limit for them and their franchise. And Luka, I mean, I can't talk about enough. He's second in the league in stepbacks this season with 298 step back shot attempts. Harden, of course, had 400 plus, which unsurprising. I mean, he is the king of the step back. But surprisingly, I think an interesting statistic was Luka Doncic actually, out of 25 players, was 22nd as far as the successful attempts on a step back jumper. Interesting, given the volume, 298 attempts. Interesting to see that he's actually near the bottom, because that's kind of his signature shot now. But you see teams, and you kind of saw it late in the game, how Milwaukee continued to try to almost bait him into taking that shot, which is not necessarily a high efficiency shot. And I think teams like Milwaukee, who really pride themselves on basketball efficiency as far as their meter for success, try to take that to their advantage. Fortunately, they did not game plan for the strategic versatility of Luka Doncic as a basketball mind, and his ability to win the game down the stretch, especially high level games. So can't give enough credit to him. With that being said, I mean, he is bringing incredibly high expectations to that Dallas franchise. I mean, to the NBA overall. I mean, this is a guy who's probably going to make, you know, first team All NBA, who had a legitimate consideration for an MVP this season. So credit to the Dallas Mavericks. There's going to be growing pains, of course, but the whole team is young, so at least they're going through it together. And I definitely think that they have a lot to look forward to. And I know this has been a whole tangent about Luka Doncic, but I also just want to give him a massive amount of credit. He was in consideration for MIP, and he actually said it shouldn't be me. It should be Devontae Graham, who is a guy a lot of us who are really fond of fantasy definitely know how well Devontae Graham played this season. He's really been balling. I mean, balling absolutely insane. We're talking about a guy who went from averaging 4 points a game to averaging almost 20 this season. So give credit where credit's due. I think leaders lead, and Luka is leading a conversation not only for himself but for another guy in the league, a guy who's not even in the bubble. And I think that just speaks to his leadership both on and off the court.
I definitely echo that sentiment. Luka is playing, you know, out of his mind, and we're not surprised. I mean, when you have been a pro since 13, 14 years old, and I love how Van Gundy on the ESPN broadcast make it seem like, oh, he was just outfitting for himself. But he did clarify his mom was with him when he was at Real Madrid, obviously, and working his way up in the professional ranks in Europe. But to be a professional that young and to know how to be a pro and lead teams into big games in Europe, and now is translating into a different league, a little more, you know, a faster league, more athletic league compared to Europe. But in Europe, I know from people who have played overseas, it's a very physical style of basketball. So to just continue to see how he's physically, you know, maturing, along with the skill that he has, it's just scary because the sky is the limit with him. And I know, you know, me covering the Atlanta Hawks, it's hard for them not to ooh and ah at Luka because they almost had him. But, I mean, rightfully so, 19 assists last night. And with KP fouling out, who has played great as well, and he's looking really good, shooting well from the three-point line, getting rebounds. He should have a double-double every game. And he's going to continue to round in the form. But him fouling out and then Giannis fouling out, it was, you know, natural for the, you know, the reigning MVP to be out and the MVP candidate and Luka to really just lead the charge in the fourth quarter in overtime in a measuring stick win game against the Bucks. So it was very, it was a very, very impressive win. The Bucks pulled out all the stops to try to win that game. And I think that is just a confidence boost for Luka himself, who doesn't need any more confidence. And rightfully so, he's already great as is. But just for the rest of that team, the rest of that roster, with them being so young and growing into the team that they want to become into the future, and a team that the NBA will have their eyes on, you know, for years to come. With two franchise players already in place and a host of great young role players who Luka can just help initiate their offense with his creativity, with his ball handling. And I just like what you said, like the step back and how they dared him to take that shot. I think at that point, analytics is out the door. And you got to just get on him, just get on him. But with that being said, as a 6'7" guard who could play in the post as well, it's going to take a special person to guard Luka. So just like you said, there's not a whole lot of people equipped to stop Giannis. I think there's a little bit more people equipped to stop Luka, but no one has done it yet. So it's going to be really, really excited to see them going forward. And I know that even though they are the seventh seed in the West, my confidence rating for them is a 6.3 out of 10. They do go against the Clippers first round if it were to end today. And I know that's a very, very tough matchup. It will be fun to watch and see, you know, how they stack up against the Clippers team, who, in my opinion, are the favorites to win the West and to get to the NBA Finals. So let's see how they continue to do in the bubble. But man, and again, to your point about him, you know, shouting out Devontae Graham in the most improved player candidate, like you said, it speaks volumes to him as a leader and just as a person. Just the joy that he plays the game with and how hard he plays the game, and then the flash and flair and the showman that he is. Definitely, you know, he watched a lot of European soccer, and they, you know, pride themselves on that as well. So I love seeing that international flair, showmanship here in the NBA, in Dallas, Big D, you know, where they replaced Dirk with another European superstar along with KP to ride out, you know, their franchise, hopefully for the next 10-plus years.
Yeah, the Dallas Mavericks have a lot to look forward to. They're definitely bright things on the horizon. This would be a great time for me to tell you that support for Hoopball is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. They obsess over their technology development to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Now, I think we've all had one of those situations and circumstances, or maybe not us personally, but, you know, we know a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy who had a pretty horrific accident while trying to do a little bit of routine maintenance, if you know what I'm saying. Well, Manscaped has got you covered. That's why they have their redesigned electric trimmer, the Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0. Now, their engineering team spent about 18 months perfecting this as one of the, if not the, singular greatest hair trimmer ever created. Lawnmower 3.0, okay? State of the art, people. Their third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce those horrific accidents you were so prone to before with all your temporary and disposable razors. Yuck, get rid of here. Thanks to Manscaped's advanced skin safe technology, those horrendous days are an issue of the past. When I tell you this is premium, I mean premium. The battery will last up to 90 minutes, so you can shave longer. But I really hope it will never take you 90 minutes. Their water-resistant technology also allows you to groom in the shower. Hey, keep it going, people. You can shave wherever you need to. Just make sure that the doors are closed and there's not any children around. We'd hate for you to scare somebody. One of the coolest features is the LED light, which illuminates the grooming areas for a closer, more precise trim. That's right. Let it shine. Put that light down there where the sun don't shine. Or don't. You can keep the light off. Either way, just make sure that you're okay.
make sure you're careful down there. One of the best things about this new Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0 is the fact that they have upgraded it to a 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology, okay? So it doesn't sound like a lawnmower, but it performs like one. And let's not forget about the charging stand. State of the art, okay? Show your mower off loud and proud because this intelligently designed stand is a convenient charging dock powered by USB. If you're listening to me right now, I want you to experience it firsthand. Maybe even use two hands if you need to. Just be careful. And also make sure you get your 20% off plus free shipping with the code Brewski at manscaped.com. Again, I'm going to tell you, 20% off and free shipping and a better, cleaner you with the code Brewski, B-R-U-S-K-I, at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code Brewski. All right, getting back into hoops. As we kind of look through the Western Conference here, in the more upper tiers of it, right now it's a real logjam, 3-6. We got the Nuggets, the Rockets, the Thunder, and the Jazz all jockeying for position. You know, I'm not too crazy about the Jazz. I'm a big fan of Donovan Mitchell, but I don't put a whole lot of stock into the Jazz and their postseason aspirations. I think the loss of Bohan Bogdanovic is pretty big. So we'll see how that ends up playing out for them. Also, I like the Thunder, but again, I think even though Chris Paul really played some MVP caliber basketball this season, and I really love the development and ascension of SGA as a player, as a playmaking guard in this league, I just don't see a whole lot of real merit for them to make a deep postseason run. I think that they're definitely one of the safer bets as far as a team who's going to come out and perform at a high level, and really play some competitive basketball regardless of who they draw in the playoffs. So that's definitely to their credit, but I'm not gonna put a whole lot of chips on that table. And then when it comes to the Denver Nuggets, who are currently sitting at the 3 seed, they had an impressive performance to win that game against the aforementioned Jazz. However, the Nuggets, I just don't see, again, I'm just not bought in. I love Jokic. I love Murray. Again, another Wildcat. I'll shout him out all day. But I'm just not buying in on the Nuggets. I don't see the gold mine, if you will, that should be their roster. And while MPJ has really shown some flashes and looked really, really promising, Bol Bol has been a fun topic. And like I said, Jokic is an MVP caliber player. They just don't have that culmination of talent that makes me say, wow, this is a real title contender. Could they make some noise in the playoffs? Of course. Will they get some quality wins? I have no doubts about that, but I definitely would be more than surprised to see them in the Western Conference Finals, and I don't think anybody's going to be expecting to see them there. So I guess really the team that is interesting to me in that logjam would be the Houston Rockets, currently sitting at the 4 seed. Should they remain the 4 seed, very possible that the Lakers would have to go through Portland and then also through Houston. So that's very, very interesting to think about that draw when you think about the Lakers' lack of perimeter defense for guard play right now. But focusing on Houston, you really do got to appreciate their style of play and how all of their guys are so switchable. Their small ball lineup is really, really impressive. PJ Tucker has been absolutely, I mean, instrumental in what they've been able to do with their lack of a true rim protector. He's been guarding guys of all shapes and sizes and has been really giving them trouble. So you really got to like what he's doing. And you saw what they were able to do to Milwaukee. They really gave them fits. PJ Tucker was D'ing Giannis up, stripping the ball. They have a lot of guys who just make high caliber winning plays. And while they don't necessarily have a team defensive scheme, I don't think that they really need one when all the guys that you put on the floor out there, all the guys that you have on your roster, more or less, are true defenders. I mean, even Daniel House, who is a lesser known guy, is not afraid to guard and does. You know, you got McLemore coming off the bench, not afraid to guard. You definitely wonder what they're going to do as far as playmaking with the loss of Eric Gordon. But when you have two dynamic guards like Russell Westbrook and James Harden with such offensive gravitas, I mean, there are bigger things that you could be worried about. So personally, I really like the Houston Rockets as a dark horse here to come out of the West, because James Harden is, I mean, I think besides KD, James Harden is one of the greatest offensive players to ever play the game, and especially in the game right now, he's a walking bucket. So you really got to wonder what that looks like in a 7-game series against anybody, let alone potentially a team who does not have an NBA caliber guard, starting guard on their roster right now, potentially in the Los Angeles Lakers. What are your thoughts about the Houston Rockets and kind of that logjam 3-6 in the West right now?
So, interesting enough, when you talk about the Houston Rockets and their playoff path as of right now as the four seed, they would have to play OKC right now if this logjam were to be as it is today. They would play OKC, which I favor them in a matchup, and like you alluded to, a very interesting matchup against the Lakers, potentially in the second round of the Western Conference playoffs. And like you said, the guard play, and I know that I've said this before, the guard play of the Lakers compared to a lot of other teams in the West is not there. And that's just because of, you know, the acquisitions that they acquired and the injuries, unfortunately, not having, you know, Rondo and not having Avery Bradley is hurting them. And I think it would be a little bit of a different story if they had all the bullets in the chamber. But as we stand, I think Houston has a little bit more of a shot to make things interesting against the Lakers if a playoff series were to occur. And just like I alluded to earlier with down in Miami, everybody bought into that system. Obviously, the decisions that Daryl Morey has made with the roster in Houston and the style of play and working with D'Antoni and looking at the numbers and the analytics, it's safe to say that they are bought into the system. And I'm glad that everyone else has bought into the system as well, because they're playing outstanding team basketball. And I think the stoppage of play really helped them, especially as they started this lineup. They just traded Capella not too long from when the stoppage play occurred. You have time off for everybody to get healthy. You have a little training camp and so to get ready for this bubble play. And it's looking great and it's effective. And a lot of people have not been able to scheme against it yet. And a playoff series that may change, and the big bodies in the Lakers could take an advantage. And I think ultimately in a series, the Lakers could overtake them because of that. Just being a series and you're able to look at matchups and really key in, and they can't play like this. So it's essentially like the regular season, and hopefully not the mantra that is normal with the Houston Rockets team, great regular season and a relatively early playoff exit. But I can kind of foresee that if a team were able to game plan for them for a 7-game series.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, to your point, their lack of a true post defender is something that I think will be a more serious issue when they go against a guy like Anthony Davis, who is an otherworldly post player who can also stretch the floor with his perimeter play. So they definitely have some questions to answer there. But
P.J. Tucker, you're absolutely right, has been playing great, and he's been playing really good defense. I watched him a couple games in the bubble. Obviously, there's a lot of games in the bubble. And he has held up and obviously hitting that illustrious corner three that he does provide for the Houston Rockets. So it is, and it's a stress to a big man. Obviously, the mismatch is there when he is guarding them, but when they're on the defensive end, they're going to have to cover from the paint all the way out to the three-point line with him. And that can get them, you know, tired and fatigued early, especially with lack of conditioning, being a factor here in the bubble. So it's very interesting, very interesting. And the small ball lineup is working for Houston right now. And so I know for me, my confidence rating for them is 6.9 out of 10 for them to make a run into the playoffs. But I, like I said, going up against the Lakers, be interesting to see, and it'd be a very entertaining series nonetheless.
Yeah, absolutely. Whoever they draw, it's going to be an entertaining series, because anytime you've seen James Harden take the floor, it's going to be fun to watch. Maybe not on the defensive end, but definitely offensively.
So he's been playing hard on defensive end in the bubble. I've seen him compete a little bit more here in the bubble on the defensive end, especially when we talk about the game a couple games ago where we had six steals. He's definitely given effort, and the team has really bought in, and they're, you know, although they're undersized, they're going to get out-rebounded, they still compete. And that's just another thing, like Miami, like Portland, like in the Clippers as well, and the Lakers as well. All the top teams are still competing, which is what I like to see. Some people have to come out for low management and whatnot, and we understand that for a grand scheme of things. But everyone has been competing. So that's been one great thing across the board, and it speaks to, you know, the parity that's now in the league with the movement from the offseason. So it's, and this bubble is just a wonderful opportunity just to kind of just see how things have evened out in the league with all the movement, but still there's still that upper echelon that we deem as the favorites, like the Clippers, the Lakers, and the Bucks. And our dark horses, obviously, Boston and Toronto. Well, Toronto obviously being reigning champs, still being there in the mix.
Yeah, absolutely. And definitely another team in the mix, of course, is the Los Angeles Clippers. Briefly, I mean, of course, we know all the variants that their rosters had between coronavirus-related absences, personal absences, and then, of course, the whole hot wing debacle. But outside of all those situations, there are some questions looming about the Clippers as far as their roster construction. I think the one thing that is sure, as far as roster construction goes, they're the best set team defensively for LeBron James. And more or less for the Los Angeles Lakers, I don't think there's really anybody that can guard Anthony Davis, but they do not have a true big. They do have a bunch of switchable bodies they can throw at AD just as they can throw at LeBron. So you have to give them credit where credit's due there. They have a lot of defensive-minded players, strong defensive identity. But you do have to wonder about, you know, the health of guys. Is playoff PG going to show up? Is Kawhi going to be available and ready to go for every single game, especially in the playoffs? So questions loom about the Clippers, but again, they were my pick. They're still my pick. I really have a hard time, like I said, with the loss of Avery Bradley from the Lakers roster. I have a hard time really buying into them being able to duke it out with a team that has so many strong perimeter players. But there are some questions. What has your opinion at all shifted about the Los Angeles Clippers?
No, I'm still pretty firm on them as my favorites. Just as, like I said, if the playoffs were to be today, them being the 2 seed going up against the Dallas Mavericks, obviously Luka playing at an MVP level, KP and the whole gang down in D-Town, and been playing great, obviously, in the bubble. But their record in the regular season, 3-0 against Dallas. So they've handled their business against Dallas. I think it'll be an entertaining series. But just the depth in the roster that the Clippers have, I think will overtake the Dallas Mavericks and then a potential Utah-Denver matchup in the next round. And I think the Clippers are the favorite no matter who they play, even with the talent on that Denver roster. It'd be more interesting with Denver, but still I put the Clippers there. So just their route itself lends for them to get to the Western Conference Finals, where they will see probably the Lakers or the Houston Rockets if things get interesting or anything else get interesting. But I think their path to the Western Conference Finals is a little bit easier, and therefore I see them getting to the finals. So they're my confidence rating for them, 9.2 out of 10. I'm very confident in them. They're my favorite just from their pure path, the roster they have, Doc obviously having the championship pedigree and trying. And as you saw, even with Pat Bev not playing and Kawhi obviously sitting out that game against the Blazers, they were competing. They were jawjacking. And I think they have a chip on their shoulder, especially losing to the Lakers opening night with everybody's eyes watching them. They know that they got a jail. They know that it's playoff time. And I think they're really gearing up for a run mentally. And I think the Clippers are priming themselves, just as everybody is in their own way. But I think they're priming themselves with a purpose to try to snag that NBA title this year.
Yeah, I definitely think that they have their eyes on the title. Doc Rivers, of course, I mean, can't say it enough, but Hall of Fame coach. They have high-caliber NBA players. They have elite-level defenders in Paul George and Kawhi. Kawhi and Paul George are both NBA superstars. They have a lot of names on their roster. Pat Bev, they have Lou Will, Montrezl Harrell. They have a bunch of guys, Landry Shamet. They have the requisite personnel. So you definitely have to like, I mean, top to bottom, everything. They check all the boxes, like you said. So I'm still rolling with them as my heavy favorite here. I really, really hope that we get a Los Angeles showdown in the Western Conference Finals. I would love nothing more.
Yes, give
the people what they want, you know.
Yes.
Absolutely. So fingers crossed on that one, because it would definitely be a
get your popcorn ready. Get your popcorn ready. It's going to be a show.
Well, and speaking of show, that brings me to the last team, the Lake Show. You know, I think that without question, they are probably the most interesting team in the bubble here as far as what's going to happen, because they have, I mean, they are
a very, very real title favorite. I think LeBron James has by far the best teammate he's ever had. No disses to Kyrie Irving or Dwayne Wade, but Anthony Davis, as far as an athletic,
oh, no doubt. No
physical
doubt.
Specimen, I mean, he is just, yeah, it's just, he's different.
I miss him.
Well, I know you do. I know you do. The city of Los Angeles thanks you. But
Enjoy him.
it goes without saying that, I mean, the Lakers have the superstar power that you need to win an NBA championship, and you can never count against LeBron James. At least you shouldn't. You should have learned about that by now. But the loss of Avery Bradley, you cannot overrate the significance of that. He was their primary point guard defender. You don't have Rondo right now. When he does come back, he's going to have to work his way into playoff action because the playoffs will be well underway. So how much can you really depend on him? Also, how much should you really depend on him as, you know, one of your primary defenders on the perimeter for the ball handlers that you're going to potentially run into in CJ McCollum and a Damian Lillard, a Russ Westbrook, a James Harden? So LeBron is going to be tested, and I think he's up for the challenge. We saw the incredible stop he did against Paul George and then Kawhi Leonard back-to-back to seal that win on opening night. So, again, you're never going to question what LeBron James can do on either end of the floor. I mean, he's one of the greatest of all time for a reason. But I think Danny Green is going to be a huge factor in this, which is a role that he's very familiar with. You know, they're going to need his perimeter defense. They're going to need his three-point shooting to help space that floor with a lot of unproven guys like Caruso and Kuzma really getting their first shot at, you know, what is going to be a big stage. So I look to see what the Lakers do. I look to see how they kind of solidify their team as they head into this playoff run that they look to be a very, very long one, and ultimately culminate in a Western Conference Finals and an NBA Finals appearance. I really hope that we get to see the Lakers back. I mean, we've seen them with them clinching the number one seed overall in the West. We've seen them kind of retake the mantle as one of the NBA's flagship franchises, and you really have to love that, especially in a year that's been especially hard for Lakers fans and hard for fans like myself personally, who, I mean, with the loss of Kobe Bryant, which, I mean, it's just an unspeakable loss to the basketball community. So I like that the Lakers have been able to do what they did this season. So I give them all the credit in the world. What are your thoughts about the Lakers?
When I talk about, you know, balling with a purpose, like I said earlier, I think the Lakers definitely have that. They have that motivation. Obviously, like you said, with the tragic passing of Kobe Bean Bryant earlier this year, I know that a lot of people have taken that for inspiration, and even people doing regular jobs, you know, find inspiration in the mama mentality. And I think the Lakers will have that spirit to play in the to get to the final, to the Western Conference Finals, definitely. And like you said, Danny Green just winning last year in Toronto and obviously winning multiple times with the Spurs. He's been in these situations. You talk about that mentorship with the young guys on the team. I would love for him to just continue to encourage and build up Kuzma to continue to take those shots, continue to give effort on a defensive end. And I know he's already a really good rebounder. But just to continue to just work, because I think, as you said, Danny Green will play a big role. I think Kuzma will play a big role as well. And as well as the other role players, Caruso's and all those, Dwight Howard's, they're all going to find time to step up and play, especially Dwight Howard, obviously getting to an NBA Finals, having an appearance and unfortunately running into Kobe Bryant, as we mentioned before. But still having people with experience on that roster. They have I know they don't have all the chess pieces, but they have a lot of chess pieces to advance and to, like you said, potentially get LeBron back to the finals, because it would be great to see AD in the NBA final and have success in the playoffs. Obviously, we can never count out the King. The King will always have something to say, and he has definitely been speaking in his play as he's been definitely trying to get everybody else revved up for playoff play. So I'm really excited to see what the Lakers can do. And I'm, like you said, I'm praying for the Battle of L.A., because popcorn, just like T.O. said, get that popcorn ready, man. Get that popcorn ready. And I'm going to eat it all up. And hopefully all NBA fans will get to eat up the chance to see the Battle of L.A. in the Western Conference Final, to see who will take it home this year for the NBA Finals.
Yeah, no, I'd definitely love to see that matchup. I'm sure everybody would. So fingers crossed. Let's hope that we can get that done. And, you know, I do want to, not to end on a controversial note, but to your point about what you said, you know, LeBron, we would love to see LeBron get into the finals. And there has been narratives, quote unquote, narratives around him saying, you know, that he couldn't get it done or he wouldn't be able to do it in the West. And, you know, in the past, LeBron has said it didn't really matter what team he was on. He just needed to get into the playoffs. And clearly that's very true. And I think that him being paired up with Anthony Davis is as dangerous as a playoff matchup that any team could draw. So you definitely do not underestimate him. But I mean, I think that there is some validity and truth to those people in the sports commentary world, to those of us who did say that, I mean, he would not have been able to do what he has done were he in the Western Conference. And personally, I don't think that's controversial. And I think it's not controversial simply because of the fact that if you take that Cleveland Cavaliers team and put them in the quote-unquote Western Conference, which is what you would do in this hypothetical, they would not have been able to go to the finals because they would have lost three times at a minimum to the Golden State Warriors. You know, that doesn't take away from LeBron at all. But I think that there's two separate narratives floating around, and one of them has some validity to it, and the other one is just a flat-out lie. Because anyone who ever said that LeBron wouldn't be able to get it done, I don't know what it might be, but if you check his resume, he's done a little bit of everything. So I think it's beyond saying that one of the greatest of all times, if not one A, I mean, unquestionably. So got to give credit where credit is due there.
And it doesn't hurt that you have a person who can drop 50 and score from each level from the field in Anthony Davis and is a defensive player of the year candidate. That helps a lot. So he, even though he lost some bullets in the chamber, that's a bazooka coming out onto the on the field. That's a bazooka right there.
No, you're right about that. So I know that they're going to let the shots fly, and we're going to get some serious highlights. So I'm really, really excited. Glad that the NBA is back. Speaking of back, I appreciate everybody for coming back and tuning in with us for another episode here at Box Score Breakdown. We got plenty more content coming at you. Brad, is there anything you're working on for the network right now or projects you got cooking?
So we are still in development of Hoopball Hawks that will cover everything Atlanta Hawks. And I know that on this broadcast we gave Luka his flowers, and I know some Atlanta Hawks fans may still kind of, you know, feel some type of way about that. But you know what? This podcast, Hoopball Hawks, is going to cover our bright future with the Atlanta Hawks, with Trae Young, John Collins, Capella, Hoyter, and Cam Reddish, as well as DeAndre Hunter. So we have a whole cast of people to be really excited about. So this podcast will cover everything from game-by-game analysis, fantasy implications, forecasting, the rumor mill, breaking news, training camp development, all the goods regarding the Atlanta Hawks. So check us out on Twitter at HoopBallHawks. Look out for that, as well as our show, which will be running up here in about a week or two. So just be on the lookout for that. And I thank you again, David, for having me on the podcast today.
Oh, always, man. Absolutely a pleasure. And definitely thank you for joining us. You know, we love to hype up all of our HoopBall affiliates and all of our other network representatives out there. So as the HoopBall Hawks prepares to take flight, definitely give them a listen, give them a follow, and check us out. We're on all the social media pages, Instagram, or on all the podcast apps, Spotify, iTunes, wherever you can find us. And tune in later this week for another episode of your Box Score Breakdown. Brad, thank you. God bless you. Appreciate you hopping on the pod with us. Thank you to all our listeners out there. HoopBall family, we'll talk to you soon.
This has been a HoopBall presentation.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.